You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Meza, only on LA Talk Radio.
Another great show for the books, I'm sure of that. I am completely beside myself this evening, you know, because weren't we hanging out outside at the record store up the street?
Yeah.
Looking through the vinyls?
Yeah.
And then I said, hey, man, you want to be on my show?
Just like that. And I was like, oh, it's right across the street, right?
Yeah. Is it across the street? You promised to have, will there be burgers? And
just right over there. Right? Yeah.
So I incentivized the whole thing. But no. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. But I'm a little starstruck. I'm not going to lie. I'll be honest with you. I got clammy hands, you know? I'm really taken aback. I mean, the next person I'm about to introduce needs no introduction, really. And I'll tell you why you need no introduction, because your face, dude, it pops out. You know, it's just a charisma. You ooze confidence. I want to ask you, because I can take notes how you do that. Guys, this gentleman has been in a lot of stuff. You may have seen him. I think it was the Southside HBO Max show, right?
Yeah.
Season one.
Yeah.
You play RTO Murph.
Yep.
Oh, that's fantastic. And you had a fro, you said?
I had an afro. Yeah, you had an afro.
So that was cool. You're rocking the fro.
Easy to point it out.
Uh-huh. But your look, honestly, it's unique.
It was very unique.
It's unique. And he's also on season 9 of Shameless, which we talked about.
Yes.
William H. Macy, a phenomenal cat. I had the pleasure of driving. I got to drive. Let's introduce the guy. What do we introduce you? I am talking and referring to none other than Mr. Jeremy Hunter.
Oh, wow. What an intro. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate that.
But you're not just an actor. You're also a comedian. You're a writer.
Yeah.
You direct, produce. You've done quite a bit of things.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's big, you know, because for you guys that are watching, all three of you guys.
All three. Family and friends.
All two. One is deaf. I gotta say, stand-up comedy is by far one of the most scariest things. I mean, literally, because once you go up there, you're all on your own.
Yeah.
Right, Jeremy?
Yeah.
And you either sink or swim. You start floundering almost immediately if you don't have a good set, right? So how important is it to have a tight set? Like, beginning, would you say, has to go strong, come in strong, and then you could throw in all your little fillers and then end with the bang? Would that kind of be accurate?
Yes and no. The reason why I would say no is because you have to know your audience. And I learned this the hard way, because I had what I thought was a really good solid set. Actually, it is a good solid set. But again, it depends on an audience. And it was one show I did at Flappers in Burbank where the audience was a bit older and not as, more in loose terms, liberal as today's, like, the modern crowd. So some of the jokes did not land with them. Like, they laughed somewhat. But when I perform it, let's just say for people around my age range, they're dying laughing. They're falling out of their chairs.
So it's highly important, because, you know, you'd have to say, like, the lingo for that particular time and place, or perhaps the age range.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, people nowadays, you know, you'll use certain vocab versus folks from the olden days, and then they don't kind of get where you're coming from, and maybe the style of comedy, would you say?
Yeah.
Also, that's interesting. So where else have you performed?
I've performed at Flappers, and I've also performed at HaHa.
Club in North Hollywood.
Yeah, right across from Chateau. Yeah.
Dude, I'm very familiar with that place. That's a great venue, by the way, to catch a show.
That was my first show. That was the first time I ever did stand-up. It was at HaHa.
Okay, you're famous to a point, and you've come out and stuff, okay?
Uh-huh.
So what is it like when you take the stage? You know, you have the guy, the warm-up guy, you know, the host that introduced, that's also a comedian, by the way. he'll introduce you as, you know, you've seen him on this show, you've seen him, you know him from that show and movie, blah, blah, blah. Hmm. And now you come out, what's the level of, like, you know, you got to put on a real good show. This dude's just inflated your ass and hyped you up.
Right.
And now you got to deliver. Is there some pressure? I mean, it begs the question, like, how much pressure is there? You know what I mean?
It is a lot of pressure. And sometimes I do find myself coming out a little bit strong.
Yeah.
And I love to do crowd work. And right. I also love to talk shit. So those two things go hand in hand. But right, like I said, you have to know your audience, though, because right. sometimes right. it will not land, or like they don't like to be picked on. You know, you just got to read the room a little bit.
Right, right. Yeah, it's highly important, I guess, you know, from that angle. Now that you bring it up, I mean, you know, like, because you're not going to go to a biker club show, you know, in one of those, and then you're going to say stuff that just they can't relate to or resonate with. Like, what the hell is this dude talking? Who the hell is this guy or whatever?
Exactly.
They'll start booing you or just dies down, you know?
Yeah.
Now, did you die, like, when you were on stage, was it, like, weird the first show that you hit it out of the ballpark, would you say, or, like, did you not come in so hot?
I absolutely hit it out of the ballpark. Yeah. And I'm serious. And he's I'm not even like, this like no, I'm a very humble person.
Yes,
no,
sir.
But, I did hit it out of the ballpark. Yeah. It was, and I guess it's because I just have that performative energy already. I'm a theater kid.
Yeah.
So I love just, you know, being on the stage, commanding the stage. So
I like that, man, that you really like exude and ooze confidence. Like from the moment I met you, I said, this cat has got the charm. Like, oh my God. And then you have just that power, that nonstop, just like, you know, spitfire. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you're just good at it. So let's start from way back. Like you're 8 years old and, you know, you start doing plays, right? Like,
yeah.
how does this all kind of come into play? Like, do your parents say, hey, you know, I think my son's got the chops? You know, like a lot of parents, like when I was growing up, I have the you know, the VHS camera, camcorder, the huge one, right?
On edge of
the
recording.
And then you start recording people, like, hey, let me interview you. Hey, man, hey, this is my cousin. You know, he sells dope. You know, he really did. But, but you know, you kind of put something together, and it's like, wow, he always likes to perform.
And then they put it on at Thanksgiving.
Right. Right. Your grandma's there. You're like, right. I didn't see that. I promise. They put me up to it. No, and then you end up doing, like, you know, community center, like a theater on a local level. So is that kind of where all this sort of began for you? It kind of birthed that interest in you? Or where does it all spur from?
Yeah, so I was 8, and I was I'm from Chicago, by the way. I'm from the west side of Chicago. And I am a Cubs fan. I do not rep the Sox, just so you know. I am all Cubs.
Can't find the window fast enough. Totally kidding.
But
my cousins live in Chicago. Highland Park, Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I know exactly what it is. Yep.
You know what it is?
Yep, I know what Highland Park is. Yep.
Not L.A., but Chicago.
Over that way. Yeah, not Highland Park. I'm realizing, too, there's actually quite a few similar names out here in L.A. I was like, who birthed it first? Who's copying? but, yeah, I'm from Chicago. So I went to the grammar school I was at. I was 8 years old.
Fantastic.
And the first time I ever was on the stage, I played the owl in Snow White and Seven Dwarfs. That's what started it. I didn't even have, like, I had two lines. There weren't even words. It was just sounds that an owl would make.
Right.
And I commanded that stage for that. I loved it. It was a packed audience. Everybody's mom, dad, grandparent, everyone was out there, teachers. And it was great. I was out there for like 11 seconds in total, and I loved it.
And you loved every second.
And that's what started it.
All 11 seconds. And that's sort of just, you got bit by that bug, and the rest, as they say, it's history. Not to sound cliche, but that's kind of what sort of kick-started the whole thing.
Yeah, that's what started it. That's what started it.
And then your parents saw that in you, and then what was the next thing after that?
So after that, I remember I did tell my parents that, you know, I want to be an actor, but I didn't know exactly what that entailed. I just knew that an actor was someone who performed. But of course, like, I would say my parents definitely have believed in my, like, ambition to pursue my dreams, but, like, in the beginning stages, it's like, you know, you're growing up there. I was like, oh, okay, I want to be president of the United States.
Right.
Like, oh, we're all going to be president of the United States.
Well, I will be, by the way. You know that?
look, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I don't like the hustle.
I'm running for a Tarzana mayor, guys. Please vote for me.
Like, listen, let's do it. But yeah, so it took some time. It took a few years where, like, it was me performing in productions and everything. And then around the age of 12, I remember I like snuck online and I applied for like this acting and modeling school, but I had my parents back after they told me not to do it.
What?
And then next thing you know, we were getting phone calls left and right. And like, I had to put down a landline. So it wasn't like there was no cell phone. It was just calling left and right. And it did cost. It was like, I want to say probably like almost $2,000.
Okay, wait. I fell into the same trap. Roberts? Is it the Roberts family?
You know what? That's the one I auditioned for them, got accepted, and then I did not go. I ended up going to this one called Barbizon.
Okay. And it's these like mass productions
all-inclusive. Yeah, and then they got all these photos in the rooms of like all these like people who like went to school there and like now have these crazy successful lucrative careers. Uh-huh.
And then they tell you, yeah, it's great. I see it in your eyes. I can see it in between your
eyes. Everyone is great as long as you got a check.
You
know, as long as you got it. Everyone,
as long as you cut us a
everyone's
check.
Kid's going to make it. You are going to be a star. Oh, I see it. He's a young Leonardo DiCaprio.
Chris, you're the star in the Walk of Fame. Right. It's being made as we speak. I can guarantee you that much. So, okay. So then fast forward, you don't take those, obviously, that.
I did do it. I did Barbizon.
What was that like?
It was interesting. Like at the time, I would say that, you know, being 12 years old, I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm being taught like by these industry professionals and everything. And don't get me wrong, like a vast majority of them knew what it was because they were also in the industry too. Okay. But I just did not get the outcome that was, I would say, promised to us, because we all were expecting so much out of this at the end.
So, you know, like for all those watching, like the older folks, there used to be a thing back in the day. I find out if I don't, because mine serves me well. I have a family friend, mm-hmm. I'll leave it at that, who worked in the biz. And I think Fox and Universal in the olden days, they had a school, right, where they would kind of like teach you and sort of, you know, prepare you for certain films that they had.
I know, like, I can't say anything on this company because I don't, like, partake in them at all, but I do know, like, next to Warner Brothers, they have, like, the New York Film Academy.
Right.
I assume that's something like that.
Yeah. And they would train them, and then you had your contract. Uh-huh. You know, like, in the old days, it was contractual to just stay within the guidelines, or they're just within that space of, say, like, it's Fox, and then, therefore, you're you know, confined to just working for Fox. Mm-hmm. And then they roll out a certain deal, and then they say you got to crank out this record companies. So I'm thinking it's somewhat like that, you know, where they kind of own you for a little bit. And then what happens next? Like you're there for a while and you get prepped.
So you go through these classes for like a couple months, and then at the end they have what is called a showcase. And then they say they invite all these industry professionals and agents and managers and everything. And they come and watch you perform. And then at the end, they will like sign you on. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So something good came out of that, I imagine.
Something good did come out of that, because we ended up moving to LA when I was 13 years old. We moved to LA.
Sure.
Yeah. Because I got called by, I believe his name was Bob Luke. Uh-huh. He was a very prominent agent that was repping a lot of like Disney Channel stars at the time. Mm-hmm. And I got a call back with them. So we ended up moving out here for a little bit.
Okay.
And then I did one gig. It was through Disney Channel. It was like one of the DCOM extras, like one of the little in between slots. Uh-huh. And then that was it.
Holy shit. That and was then it. What? It was like a
and that was insane.
It was a flash in the pan.
It was a flash in the pan. It was back to Chicago. We was back to Chicago. And that
Holy shit, guys, I will tell you.
It's like one thing I will say is like, especially for the kids nowadays that are trying to get into the industry, like parents, please lay back, because I saw some stuff like, and it's not even, I know behind the scenes there's a lot of stuff that happens, but momagers and those parents.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
They're praying. Like,
it's
like
I've seen a lot of like during that time I saw kids like lose roles because like the parents are like storming down the hallway into the room after their kid just came out demanding that their kid get seen.
Yeah.
It was like, you're going to sign them. We did. It was nuts.
Well, you know, it must take it's taxing on your body. Like if you're taking your kid to all these auditions and whatnot, and then you have to kind of do most of the legwork, like literally moving from one, going to the other audition, and then maybe it'll get seen right away. And just in your head, because I mean, a lot of these parents, per se, they have this sort of a God-like, you know, complex of, like, my kid is the kid.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like, uh-huh. every parent feels as though their child is going to be, like, shot up to the
every stratosphere. They're all you know, Shirley Temple.
Right. And right. so, I mean, and that's a whole other story you and I could talk about probably for another day. Right. I got stories on that, too. But, so, that's what I feel. And so, it's a lot of, like, people feeling entitled, like my child is, you know, the next starlet or star. And so, but your parents weren't like this, correct?
No, my parents was not like that. At least my mom made sure my dad was not.
Right.
She made sure, like, you know, they left it all up to me. And it was like, you know, if they called him back, that means they saw something in him. And if not, then we'll just move on and just see what happens.
So you go back to Chicago and then it's like, okay, I got to start from square one and back to the drawing board.
Yep.
Of sorts. And then you start auditioning over there? Is that how it goes?
So I got, I was in high school during the time. So I was doing basically, I'm a thespian. So I was doing everything theater based in high school, every fall production, every spring production. And then I kind of laid back a little bit in regards to like searching for an agent because I went to Illinois State University. So I was an acting major.
And you got a degree.
So I have my bachelor's in theater. So my focus was on acting.
I've been in politics. Same thing. Same thing.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. I feel like a lot of politicians are actors. So it works out.
It works out good. No.
But yeah, so I went there and basically just tried to perfect my craft to the best of my ability. And there was a lot of good actors that graduated from Illinois State, like a lot of great theater actors and film actors today. So
did you know, like real quick, a little segue here. For some reason, I'm like, I don't know if it's a, shirt, but I'm like hyperventilating. It's weird, dude. It's that Red Bull I had in the morning for breakfast.
The Red Bull.
I chased it down with the monster.
It hit a nitro cobra right after that, right? Just kept it going.
I just took a shot of that adrenaline straight to the heart. Right? No, I was going to tell you, did you know, well, this is probably far back, but you know the Ferris Bueller's Day Off movie your parents watch?
I have not watched it.
Okay, I'm dating myself.
I know. It's so bad, right?
Matthew Broderick and the other. Okay.
Yes.
So their theater, they're Chicago people, as far as I understand it. Right? Like, did you know these guys in Chicago? I think they're also, they also did a lot of theater.
Not them in particular, but I do know, well, I don't know them personally either, but we did get to work alongside like the creators of, or the founders of the Steppenwolf. Okay. So like John Malkovich, Gary Sinise, dude, Terry Kinney, also Laurie Metcalf.
Those are the greats, bro. Astounding. And so you draw your inspiration from all these people and from... Okay, and then what happens next? Don't you land some kind of big commercial,
Right after I graduated, I instantly just went like right into film. Well, I took like a month off. I just did 12 years of school like nonstop.
And can you tell I have a training bra on?
Yeah, it's a little bit.
I'm getting hot flashes.
Just a little bit. Maybe it's too tight. Like loosen up a strap in the back or something. Just a little bit. Maybe
it's
pop
strapless,
it.
Bro. This is 2024.
Like, what's going on? Oh, my God. He got a bodysuit on under there.
You're terrible, Jeremy Hunter. Guys, Almost Famous on LA Talk Radio. Your host, Jim Francis Mesa. Make sure you pick up Juicier Divas, Confessions of a Limo Driver book. And you guys want to hear a bunch of great stories that are going to knock your socks off if you wear socks at all or anything at all for that matter. Anyway.
Or bodysuits.
Yeah, just like me, right, Jeremy? Mr. Hunter, tell us a little more, enlighten us, please, if you will. So you get the commercial, right?
Yeah, so I did, right after I graduated, I went straight into the film industry. I started off as a background extra. Okay. So the first background work I ever done was a movie with Jamie Lee Curtis. And it was insane. And that was my first time like truly being on a film set. And then I've like networked with other background extras and they put me on with like local agents that they're working with and like who's good, who's not. So I submitted. I ended up auditioning for one of them. It turns out one of the agents graduated from Illinois State. So that was a leg in. And I ended up getting signed with them.
You got grandfathered in.
It was basically what happened. I was like, oh, this is nepotism. This is what it feels
like.
That
is finest.
I was like, oh. And then I ended up getting, literally maybe like 4 months later, I had an audition for Chevrolet and I got it. That was my first commercial ever. All right, kudos and to you, I bro. Thought I was like, what? Like, this is insane. When yeah. I got it, and it's like, and that was my second time, my second audition with them since I signed with them.
Holy yeah. cow, and dude, then, that's great. So you did the audition, then you call back.
Yeah.
And then you nabbed it, right? Is that how it works?
Yeah. So that one, I did have another callback and then I landed it. And then I kid you not, like this was in 2017 and I will always rep this forever because it was such a great summer. Like 2 months later, I booked another commercial for cars.com. What? It was something with vehicles. I don't know what it was, but, and that was just a one and done. I auditioned and I got it. So I did two commercials within like a 4 month period, which people was like, that's crazy.
It is. It is.
And then it stopped.
And then what happened?
And then it stopped.
Well, dry.
That was it. I was like, got paid, got two commercials on the reel. That was great. That was great.
It's a feast and famine, you guys. Hollywood business. You know, speaking of which, I want to ask you, because then you got on this great show on HBO Max, but it's like when you saw yourself, was it like on the silver screen, so to speak? Like you see yourself on TV, people are calling you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then aren't you on the trailer like a few?
Yeah. So with Southside, that was a very crazy, like, insane, all in a good way experience, because I was also like, they were looking for background extras. Uh-huh. And the person who was casting background sent me an email. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I'm interested. Why not? So I did it. And they liked my look. So they ended up was like, you know what? Let's give them out something. So then maximize we went on set. That's basically maximize it on HBO Max. And then we went. And I was like, this is crazy. And we were in the – they took us in the set. It was in Center Space in Chicago. And we were in the room. And, like, we were filming the first scene. And then one of the creators came. It was like, let's give him a name. He's going to be Murph.
Dang,
and that's how it started. And we filmed the whole first season. And then a couple months later, the NBA finals were on. And that is when they first aired the commercial, like, out to the general public. That was nuts. And I was in that trailer twice.
Dude, you don't say, bro.
Like, I was like, what?
That must have blown your head to smithereens.
I was like, and I had no idea what was happening. Because if we were not watching the finals, we weren't even at home. Like, we were out and about doing something. And
people
and then,
were like, dude, do you not see? Like,
social media, like Facebook, Instagram, just notifications. People got photos of it, like recording the whole commercial, grandparents calling. Like, it was crazy.
And then like, you feel, okay, so then you start going places and people start obviously noticing who you are, right?
Yeah, especially with the afro. Like, people who watched the show was like, or it would be, they wouldn't know, and then when I would let them know I was in South Center, it was like, wait, you're the one with the afro,
yeah,
right?
That's you.
And then it resonates.
That's cool. So pictures galore.
Yeah.
Okay, so then let's talk about this. It's a humbling experience because we know how fame works, and it's a fleeting moment of sorts. So you get famous, and then later, little by little, peters out a little bit, just a little. It helps out your career, so we can go back to that.
Yeah.
But how does one grapple with the fact that, oh shit, I'm not as famous as I was maybe like a month or a couple months ago. Now I have to go back to sort of the rank and file job, so to speak.
Right.
Like, bring you back to auditioning once again for something else.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel then? What was your thought process? You know, how are you feeling then?
I guess, you know, you always just have to remember where you came from and the struggle of trying to get to where it is that you want to get to. And it's like, if you do get a taste of that fame, you got to realize that, like, you have to do what you have to do in order to obtain it. But make sure you're walking along that path with a sense of morality.
Don't
do anything crazy or insane, but it's a grind. Like, you have to work and you have to understand that there's a million other people out there with the same dream as you.
Yeah.
They're going to be trying to go in there and get it too.
The same one.
Yeah. They want the same thing.
Yeah. There's like, you know, it's weird because years ago, I was on a YouTube, some like podcast or whatever, and I was in, you know, I was with this person, this actress, you know, on the show. We're like talking, sitting next to this person, and then that video shot to a million views, and then it got some pickup and in the news or whatever, like online anyway.
Mm.
And people as far away as like New York were calling my mom and aunts in Chicago. I have an aunt in Chicago too, you know, my cousin lived in Chicago in Highland Park. It's funny that I say Highland Park. I know where it is,
right.
But
like,
I
know
Highland Park
one.
In LA, but you know. So anyway, and then it was like people calling from everywhere. And I thought, fuck, dude, I got a little taste of fame.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of good, you know, like people kind of recognize you, like send me pictures or like photos, you know, hey, dude, screenshot of, hey, that's you.
I got 70 frame requests.
But now I imagine being when on it aired. It was insane. Show, bro. That rad.
It was nuts. Like,
did your pictures start to like go to sleep at night? Like, dude, I can't even sleep. Like, the first night, you probably couldn't fucking, you know, like count any sheep.
Yeah, it was, you know, like, I was so excited when it aired, but I did not want to watch it. I didn't want, because of me. Like, I have something with watching myself back on camera. And it was like, I wanted to watch the show in its entirety, but it was like, every time I came on screen, it felt kind of cringy. But everyone was like, no, like, it was great. Like, you were good. Like, it was hilarious.
I feel the same. Like, the same goes for me. Like, it's weird, but as you notice, I don't have any of this on. I tend to get, like, you know, self-conscious of myself. But I have never seen the Jim and James Morning Podcast. I have seen maybe two episodes of my old podcast because I hate seeing myself. Like, I mean, I'm very comfortable to love myself, right? A little too much, right? But not narcissistic, but yeah.
That's what all narcissists say.
Come on.
That's what all narcissists say.
I'm in denial, right? No. But it's another thing to actually, I like where it comes, when it comes out, you know, from an organic place.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just you and I are just, you know, fucking shooting from the hip, so to speak. And, you know, we're not, like, really producing the show. Like, it has to go a certain way. And so, therefore, I kind of let it go. Like, let the freaking show go where it needs to go, where it's going to go and do what it's going to do. But I really don't replay any of it. It's so weird. And so I don't do that either. And
I can relate to that.
Yeah, it's weird. But, yeah. I mean, So then what happens? You get on, how do you get on Shameless?
So this is literally like, I'm just saying, you got to be at the right place at the right time.
You hear that, guys? Right place at the right time. Write it down, Jim.
This was probably like, I want to say a year later after, like, Southside is already like airing and everything. Like, they're getting ready to prep for a second season. And I go and I do background work for Shameless because they you know, they film Shameless. It takes place in Chicago, but predominantly is filmed here in L.A., but they only go there for the exterior. So Shameless only came maybe like for a month out of the whole season. So everyone wanted to work on the show because it's Shameless. So I applied just, you know, for background extra. So Shameless. The show is very good. Love it. Shout out to Shameless. Fantastic.
Fucking badass show.
Really is. I was sitting in like extras holding, and one of the ADs came up to me and he was like, "Hey, Jeremy, do you want to throw a firework?" And I was like, "Throw a firework?" He was like, "Yeah." He said, "Did you ever play with fireworks as a kid?
Light up the place."
I was like, "I'll throw a firework." He was like, "Okay, follow me." So he took me outside and he introduced me to the director. He was like, "This is your guy." And dude, I was like, "What? Like, what's going on?" So basically, in a scene, I had to light up a firework and I throw it into the yard to get the neighbor's attention, comes out, and I like, fuck you, bitch. That was a line.
You're not a, sorry. Oop. I hope you didn't. Did you bleep that? You're not allowed to say fuck you.
Oh.
No.
Sorry.
Dude, it's everywhere. It's fuck you.
I was like, man, like, we're censored. I'm like, oh, snap. And I did. I was like, did he do the flashes over the fingers? I was like, perfect.
I fucking say a lot of fuck words.
Well, that was my line on Shameless.
Flip the birds. No. But you know what? It's interesting. Oh, my wonderful son, James Matthew, is calling me. Hey, I'll call him after. Let me see. Hold on. James, we're live. We're live on the radio. Almost Famous. Say hi to my boy Jeremy Hunter.
Hey, Jeremy Hunter, how's it going?
It's going good. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm so happy and proud to hear my dad on the radio.
He had to call you right now. Oh my God. Like, this is fantastic.
I'm you know, I'm like without words. You know, I love you. Thank you. I'm humbled and thank you. It coming from you, obviously, you know, you're my pride and joy, and I do anything for you, and I love you more than life itself, and I love everything you're doing. My son's doing some great stuff, man, in the industry himself, and
I love it.
And you know, he has a TikTok that's it's doing pretty well, and yeah, he does some stuff. Tell him what you like doing, James.
Okay.
Yeah. But he does. Yeah, but his best is really good. Yeah.
That's good. Well, I'd like to check out his content.
What's the name of your TikTok page?
This is the time to do it. Yeah, look, you can't waste an opportunity.
You got at least 500,000 people.
You always got to be ready.
Listening. The viewership is insane.
Always got to be ready.
It's through the roof. We got lots of people watching right now.
Yeah.
The combat sports guy. You heard it here first.
The combat sports guy.
He does the breakdowns for the MMA fights.
Okay.
And he's prolific. It's great.
The best analysis they can get, and I try to just give people some good content. But that's all I can say. I'm not here to market myself.
You just did. It's a perfect place to do it. A great platform.
Yeah,
I love you.
It's great to hear you on the air. It's nice meeting your guest. I'm
sure you're
very accomplished.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we're just getting started here, but I'm very proud of my son. You guys always talk. I always give him a shout out. Just to mess around and say, hey, where are you? Where my son is? He told me he's going to be doing homework. I hope he's doing homework and not at a bar somewhere, some dive or at the beach. Just for fun. No, my son's all about the books. That's he buries good. His face in the books day in and day out, and he makes me super proud. We love the academia, right, brother? There you go.
There it is.
There's no way, there's no other way of doing it, right?
I'm just out myself out. I don't want to take care of anything away from your show.
You're not.
I
can assure you, you're not, son. Yeah. I love you, bud.
Have a good one.
I'll call you later. Bye, bud. Love you. He's phenomenal.
I love that.
Yeah, he's great. I love that.
He's only a really good son.
Yeah, he's 20-year-old, and he's doing pretty good stuff. You get discovered, my friend, twice. Just
doing background work.
Background work. So
doing background work.
Being an extra does really pay off.
Dividends. It does pay off.
I mean, for you anyway, it's work. I was an extra, so I can tell my story real quick because it ties into you. So I had quit the industry again for a second or third time because things weren't exactly panning out for me, right? And so, I knew it's a grind. I know the whole bit, but I want the first, get an audition, maybe a couple. And then in my little puny mind, I'm thinking this part is for me and I'm the casting director and I should therefore cast myself. So I'm thinking that, but a lot of times it doesn't quite shake out the way it's supposed to in your mind, you know? And so you continue the process, right? At some point I said, fuck this. I'm not going to go on with this thing, you know? It's crazy. It's like a rat race. So you're doing the same thing over and over. And you know, I want something different. I'm not quite seeing it yet. And so at some point I get invited with Andy Dick and I were buddies back in the day. We go out and party. And Andy Dick invites me to Less Than Perfect, the show. And I'm sitting there in the VIP section right in the front. I mean, you know, plenty of that VIP stuff. You wouldn't know that, right?
I felt like I was tugging on a cord. I saw something moving. I was like, is that a ghost?
It's a snake. Yeah. Oh, you didn't know?
I was like, what is happening? I was like, what?
Tommy, get back. Tommy, shut up. Holy shit. No. So then we sit, you know.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait, go back to the VIP. What you say about VIP?
Well, you know, you don't know a thing about VIP.
Oh, I know enough about VIP.
This guy's been in the big, he's been in the nice parties and stuff. I'm Diddy parties, right?
You're going to Diddy? Oh, wait a minute now. Hold on. This is uncensored, right?
Okay, listen. So a lot of after parties. I'm in after parties, okay? So I think Less Than Perfect was a great a show back in the day. And I was, you know, VIP section, whatever that means. Who cares? I was sitting there, and then suddenly there's this thing where, hey, you guys want to do a walk-on row? You guys can earn a walk-on row if you have a dance-off, and I'm having a dance-off with, like, young 19-year-old kids, and I'm probably, like, late 20s, early 30s. I'll say, like, 30 at the time, and I'm only 35, so it's, like, 5 years ago.
Just right there.
So I'm dancing. I'm like, dude, what can I do? And, you know, me being improvising, I'm so used to being, you know, improvising the improv. I said, fuck it. I'm going to pick the oldest lady. I'm going to start freaking her. I freak an 80-year-old. And I started freaking her, man. I'm grinding this old lady, dude.
You talking granny? What is yours, granny? You want to play? Like, you want to play? Okay.
You're like, it's queasy. I'm getting queasy. Oh, yeah, right. With my titties.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, dude, what is this?
I'm grinding this lady. And they're like, fuck, everyone stops. The mic drops, literally. You know, the warm-up guys are usually comedians also. These guys are famous comedians. I forget his name. Anyway, he drops the mic. And the next thing you know, it's like, hey, guys, do we have a winner? And they say, oh, you know, it's Jimmy. You know, and Jim, I fucking won, dude. And I say, whatever, dude. What did I win? Like candy or pizza or like whatever they give out.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes over, he hands over a hand, delivers an envelope. Sure enough, it says walk on road to, ready guys? Drum roll. It was anger management with...
Anger management with
Carlos Estevez. That's how he introduced himself. It was Charlie Sheen.
What? Do you want to say Sheen?
Yeah, but his name is real name is Carlos Estevez.
Yeah, but what?
And it was on that show that I was the star because they had only one extra. And I thought it was bullshit. And they actually called me.
Wait, in the scene there was one extra.
I was one of the only extras in there. There was maybe one and there was a girl or something. They gave me a
you were a featured extra. Dude,
right. And then I had to carry this like ladder across literally, and it was like a mission back and forth, like to get it right. Cause this is that Charlie Sheen likes things to be precise and it's gotta be like I'm literally the cue. So I'm gonna cue him in. Mm-hmm. So when I go across, it has to be the right time, and then he comes in, and then, you know, whatever. I got like SAG fucking pay, and I was already on my way out. Like, I didn't want to do this anymore. So the industry called me back. It called me back. Yeah.
What?
It keeps calling me back. And here I am at Almost Famous, and I have Jeremy Hunter. This is like a dream come true, bro.
Okay.
Being in front of you. Like,
I love it. I'm going to take this all in. I'm not going to get this when I get home. Thank you so much.
You're not going to fit through the doorway, by the way.
That's it. That is it. Just keep it coming. Keep it coming. Okay.
So all the accolades to you. But now let's talk a little bit more about some of the stuff that you've done. So you've done... I'd like to know your process in terms of how to prepare for a scene. How do you prepare for a character, for example?
Like, I assume you're asking if I already got the role or auditions.
So auditions, I mean, you have the sides. You sort of learn the sides. You go up there and do the best you can. Do you prepare? Are you, like, overly prepared? Because some people do, like, the overly prepared thing. So that, you know, like, you don't just fucking wing it.
I like to be off book. Like, I don't even like to hold the script in my hand. Okay. Like, some people like to hold the script and, like, look down. And, you know, it's up to who, you know, your own individual method. Uh-huh. But I feel like, you know, when you're off book, you really can be more versatile.
Okay.
Because you have to worry about trying to read off a paper.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have to play it one way, but you can actually take notes.
Yeah, like, you can make adjustments.
Right.
Yeah. So typically, like with auditions, sometimes you may just get two pages, but you have to... Those two pages, you sometimes have to make up a whole scenario in your mind of where that character is because they don't give you the before and after. They just give you what you want to read. Fill the whole thing up. Yeah. So that's the process with that. And then I guess it also depends on, like, if I do get the role, like, what setting the character is in. You know, if it's something that's really in-depth, or it could just be like a sitcom.
Right.
You know, it's just I try to put myself in the mood of wherever that character is to prep myself before I go on set.
To embody the freaking character.
Yeah.
You flesh it out completely.
Yeah.
I love that. And how do you learn your, like, for people that are watching, how do you learn your lines? I mean, do you have a certain way of just learning, just other than repetitions, like just study over and over?
Yeah.
Do you also do the audio thing, or, like, you know, do you listen to it in the car?
Mine is writing. Like, me writing out my lines will help me remember. Also, like, just reading back and forth. Because I do think I have a pretty good, like, photographic memory. The thing is with me is like I guess I do push myself a little bit more because I like to be like verbatim for the words. I don't like to summarize the text, especially like some writers, they'll take that a bad, like, you know.
Well, that's like what
way.
The fuck? This is what I wrote.
Yeah, that's what they want you to be like. Yeah. Some really don't care, but it's like I try to respect the craft of writing because it's a lot to go through.
So the only people that ad lib we found out was like Al Pacino. You know, you get to that point.
Well, Southside also was a lot of ad lib.
Really,
by the way. A lot of that was a lot of improv. And just off the record for just improvisation.
Improvisation.
In general. Regardless of whatever career field you in, I say everybody should take one improv class.
Fuck yeah.
Everyone. That's great. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you're doing in your life. Take improv class.
My son took some improv.
Yeah.
And he did pretty good at that. And you know, I've taken lots of like different acting classes over the years. And yeah, man. I mean, I'm always interested in learning like the lines, how do people learn it? I also understood, like, Tom Sizemore used to be obviously my coach and friend. He used to tell me, Jimmy, what you want to do is, before you go to sleep, you know, just read them out loud and, you know, read them aloud and then you read them under your breath and then go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And the morning you get up, Jimmy, and that's not good. That ought to be like the first thing you do. You know, you read them again. Mm-hmm. And he was just had this thing, and it worked. And But also, too, there's different ways that people learn the lines. At the end of the day, these are thoughts that you're learning. You know, yeah. Like the thoughts, not really just lines.
Another way, too, like recently off of another show, one of the actresses, I would say, the way I've seen her memorize her lines is saying the lines in different accents.
What?
That was the first time I've ever seen that.
I never heard of that.
Yeah, dude. She says her lines, like, we'll go through the whole scene if it's like one or two pages or whatever, and she'll say, let's do it again, and she'll do it in a different accent. It helps her remember.
Are you sure she's not talking in tongues?
Can you imagine? I was like, wait a minute.
That's
I was like, one of them accents, but not, you know, I was like, don't pull on the black scent now. Then we're going to have a problem. But no, yeah, that was a first for me. But it worked. Everyone has their method. But it worked. I was like, I'll try that one.
Method to the madness.
Yeah. I was like, it was literally like eight different people. I was like, oh my gosh.
Really, dude?
It was nuts. She went from American to Southern to Irish. I was like, Czechoslovakian. Like, what is going on? What is happening?
Yeah, it was. She was like chanting, huh?
Yeah, she was like different accents. I was like, I'm here for it.
Different subtleties and like yeah. That's talk about nuance, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was like, and then when you're doing it in different accents, you do it like in a different, like you're a whole new person. So right. Yeah, hey, that
guys,
was the way.
Guys, got a little secret to tell you guys.
What is that?
Jeremy Hunter's also a singer. He's gonna sing to us. He's gonna sing for us tonight.
Live from LA Radio.
Right. LA Talk Radio. Sam, thanks again for making this happen. The next few minutes, we have just like literally a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. I want you to sing us a piece of a song, something that comes to you, you know, comes to mind or from the heart or, you know.
You can put me on the spot like that.
Yeah.
You can put me on the spot like
that.
Yeah, but guess what? But I just told your son, you also got to be ready.
Didn't I just say? Yeah.
Let's see. Here, let me take a little bit of water.
All right. It's vodka, guys. Don't believe them.
It is. Actually, it's tequila. It's actually straight up Casamigos.
There you go. Hey, dude, I'm going to charge you for that.
Let's see.
Clooney.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Dreams drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
Jeremy Hunter, guys.
I love that song.
Oh, sorry, my God.
It's a little bit rusty,
dude,
but I do like that song.
It's divorced by wives. Maybe we should just, you and I should hook up.
That's it. Sorry, Alana.
Sorry, Stephanie. Got a crush on Mr. Jeremy Hunter. No, you know, I want to ask you how do you prepare? Like, do you prepare every? Is this like, when was the last time you did this? Like, what did you sing? When was the last time you?
I have not sang in a while. Because I did. No, I haven't sang in a while. I have not sang in a while. Like, it's crazy. Man. Like, because, well, one of my dreams, and this actually, this is good too for people who want to get agents, so you'll know.
Okay.
One of my dreams is to be on Broadway.
On Broadway?
I would love to be on Broadway. Okay. However, a lot of agents that rep film actors, they really don't, there's no money in theater, primarily, unless you're like a superstar. Yeah. So they really don't see you on theater auditions. You're kind of on your own. Even for those in New York, like sometimes they'll do it, but primarily it's film and television. So I'm kind of on my own, but I do want to do Broadway one day.
So social media handles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Jeremy I. Hunter. Same thing for TikTok, Jeremy I. Hunter.
You like TikToks?
I'm not a fan of TikTok.
I'm not a fan.
I did it because everyone's like, well, you're an actor. You got to do it. But a lot of TikTokers are not taken seriously as performers. And I know that through experience. I also have friends who are big on TikTok. And, you know, when they go into auditions for serious roles, they're like, oh, you're that guy. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
And then that's it. And it's like, no, they
you're
want
like
an
a
act.
Gesture or something.
Yeah, it's like it's not. So it's a catch 22. The money is good, but also.
But the money on TikTok, unless you
like,
have
that's what I'm saying,
like
unless
millions
you're huge,
and millions, you're
but
not
it's
making
like,
anything.
It's either that or your
and
career.
Then it's, yeah, I'd rather have a career.
Yeah.
But TikToks are fun. I mean, it's just fun, like, to, you know, to get something out. Like, if someone, you want to burn someone, like, some motherfucker took your parking space, you just put them on blast.
Like that. Just like that.
Like that, it just shoots up to a million. Guys, it's been great. Another awesome show with my boy, Jeremy Hunter. When are you going to come back? Dude, I think we should
Let me know. I'm here.
You're down to come again? Like
I'm down to come. Dude, I'm like down to come again. I'm here.
You co-host and maybe, because I'll have JT. You got to meet my buddy JT, uh-huh. filmmaker. And then, we, you know, once in a while, maybe I could have you come in and you could just, you and I could just feed off each other.
Yeah. Let me know. Fuck I'm around. Down. I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm Shoot here.
The shit.
This is a nice hiatus period. I'm in between shows, so I'm free.
You see this
I'm
guy?
I'm open. Like, let's go.
Oh, man. I'm here. Dude, I'm like beyond grateful. Like, this time, you know, we don't know where, you know, as they say, like, where did time go? I mean, seriously, it couldn't happen.
It really did go by fast.
Fucking quick, it went dude. Really quick. Huh?
But when you're in good company and have a good conversation, it flies like it's just, it's like me in Vegas when I'm at the casino.
Uh-huh.
Man, what a time.
Hey, don't tell anybody about that, dude.
No clock. It's
like, man,
what
well.
Happened? Like what?
Don't tell your intimate secrets.
You walk outside, ain't no sun.
It's like, damn, what happened?
The sun went down and so did your bank account. Shit. Everything just dried up.
Guys, this is like a great show. I mean, every show we have seems to be good. I mean, you know, there's a lot. Pick up my book, guys. Juicier Divas Confessions of a Limo Driver. You can hear the podcast too. Juicy Divas Confessions of a Limo Driver. You know, I have a lot of great, interesting people on there. But the book is like a tell-all. It's a great book. You know, it's basically chronicles some of my crazy stories. I have a lot of stories. There's going to be volume 3. Uh-huh. I'll give you a copy of my book. If you come next time, I'll give you a free book.
When I come next time,
you'll
be the thing, so I'll give it to you. You got to be here first, though.
They'll take a picture and I'll get it back. Oh, that was just show business.
You're right. That's basically what it is.
Anyway, guys, it's been great. It's been nice. It's time for me to go. Once again, Jeremy, it's a true pleasure. Thank you
so much. Thank you for having me. This was great. This no, seriously, fantastic. I would love to come back.
All right, guys, make sure you share, okay? Let's get to another 1,000. Dude, I shot up to 1,000 last week.
That's awesome.
And then the other week, the first one was 1,200 because JT was talking about his most intimate moments, you know, and shit like that. So,
right.
You know, crazy stories that we have. But, yeah, pick up the book. Watch LA TV, LA Talk Radio. I'm like this other person that was on.
No.
And let's say LA TV started talking about some completely
like
different
thing.
What are
you talking about? LA Talk Radio.
Sam is the man. Thank you, Sam, once again. And everybody else listening out there, God bless you. Thank you.
You're listening to Almost Famous with Jim Francis Meza, only on LA Talk Radio.